College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we will be joined by Gonzaga head coach Mark Few. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also send me your questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on Stitcher. You can find us there right now. And I also want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by our great sponsor, Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket. It just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. And now that we've got you set for all your Geico needs, here are my three big thoughts after the weekend in college basketball. There is a hidden All-American in Southern California, because the more you watch San Diego State, the more it reiterates the notion that Malachi Flynn is a consensus All-American. The Washington State transfer has 21 assists to 2 turnovers in his last 4 games, and whatever it is, Flynn seems to possess. San Diego State remains undefeated. San Diego State remains in line to have a perfect season. They have been a major story in 1920. Another big thought from the weekend, there's traction for LSU to again be a team that can win the SEC regular season title, and one of the keys has been Marlon Taylor. LSU is now 9-2 over the last 2 seasons when Taylor scores in double figures. LSU right now has a 2-game lead in the SEC over both Auburn and Kentucky. Will Wade's crew has won 9 straight games, one of the best teams in the country that not enough people are talking about. And the third observation from the weekend, the beast that is the Big East. Now, this is the best the Big East has been since realignment, and that was reiterated on Saturday when Villanova, Seton Hall, and Butler all came into that day, obviously ranked. And then all 3 teams lost at home. And what about what happened on Saturday? In addition to that, when DePaul, the team that's in last place in the league, battled Marquette to the wire in Milwaukee. And what about what happened on Sunday at Madison Square Garden? Mac McClung does not play for Georgetown. St. John's builds a 17-point lead at Madison Square Garden. The Hoyas come back without Mac McClung, win the game by a point at the world's most famous arena. The Big East tournament this year is going to be the most competitive conference tournament that we have among the power conferences. And I know we're still about 5 weeks away from championship week, but if there's one conference tournament that you want to circle, it's the Big East tournament at Madison Square Garden. Now, one team that always seems to be in control of its conference tournaments, at least until the championship game, is Gonzaga. The Bulldogs have dominated the West Coast Conference. They're obviously going to get tested here coming up against BYU and St. Mary's. And in the West Coast Conference tournament, they've been tested as well in that championship game like we saw last year against St. Mary's. But Gonzaga right now in the driver's seat for a number 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. The head coach of the Zags, Mark Few, joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein when we return. The early days of February mean that college basketball is in the spotlight, and that usually means, obviously, Gonzaga's in the spotlight. Zags with 1 loss right now as we enter the month before March, and the head coach of the Bulldogs is Mark Few, and he joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein right now. And, Coach, you had a very dramatic win on Saturday against San Francisco. The question that the whole world wants to know is, what did Mark Few do to unwind on Sunday?
Oh, man, we had a great family day, John. I mean, as you can imagine, with season going on, and then I have four kids that have various activities, run around with all their games all week and practices. It was really cool to just get everybody around and watch the whole Super Bowl and the halftime show and the exciting fourth quarter, and just kind of did that. It was a really, really good day.
Now, you've told me time and time again that you are more than comfortable, especially in the off season, detaching yourself from your cell phone. Can you do that during the season as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Just kind of shut it down. And, again, when you get those moments where you get, you know, I got basically three teenagers now and one below that. So anytime I get those guys all in the same room, I try to focus all my attention on that because those times are rare. So we had that, and it was fun and easy to do.
Well, one of the things that's not rare in college basketball, especially this year, is compelling games that go down to the wire, and you had one of those Saturday at San Francisco. How happy were you after the game? Obviously, it was key to pick up a victory, but that you were tested like that in a road environment, and you got to see how your team would respond.
It was good for us to have that. And you know, look, we're going to have many more of those, you know, as you get into February. I say this every year, it just seems like everybody kind of shrinks to the mean, in my opinion. Everybody's used to playing. Everybody's seen on tape what works against you and what really doesn't work against you by this time of the year. And the league opponents are familiar with you. And obviously when you're carrying a high ranking like we usually are, I mean, you get everybody's best shot and best effort. And we were fortunate to get out of there with a win. But at the same time, I thought we did some things and showed some things that are definitely a positive as we kind of move forward here.
And, you know, you played, obviously, San Francisco on Saturday. You played an improved Santa Clara team a couple of days earlier. And, you know, we have seen, in addition to Gonzaga, St. Mary's, BYU, win key games nationally. What do you attribute the newfound depth in the West Coast Conference to?
Well, I just think the league's been, you know, working. This whole time to try to get better. All the teams have, and I've always felt, at least, you know, in the last, you know, 6-7 years, St. Mary's and BYU have been teams that deserve consideration for the NCAA, and I think this year they've really proven that. I think we got three of us now inside the net 30, or pretty close inside the net 30. And then, as you just mentioned, the other teams like San Francisco and Santa Clara have worked themselves into, you know, inside the top 100. And so now you got quad one opportunities, you got quad two opportunities, and that, you know, I think that's a true reflection of, you know, what's really happening in college basketball. I mean, like when Gonzaga goes to BYU, there's going to be 19,000. Screaming fans there, you know, the hour before the game and all the way through the game and even a little bit after the game. That's a big time environment, and they have a veteran laced club, as the St. Mary's. St. Mary's returned their whole roster from last year, and they were an NCAA tournament team last year. So this is definitely an upswing for our league, and that's good for us.
Gonzaga head coach Mark Few joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bullocks 23-1 in first place, obviously, in the West Coast Conference. Only one defeat so far this season. You had a team last year that was a one seed in the NCAA tournament, obviously loaded with talent. You lose your top four scorers and you're 23-1. What do you think your reaction would have been in October if somebody said, you know, after 24 games, you're going to win 23?
I would have said no chance. I mean, absolutely not. I've never had a group surprise me as much as this one has. And they deserve, John, all the credit. I mean, we've never lost as much as we did last year. And especially just had to replace so many integral parts with so many new people. And even some of the people we had returning had to vastly change their roles from supplementary roles or even, you know, basically just bench roles to become, you know, major contributors. We were also hit really, really hard by the injury bug this year. Other things that hit us, so our roster really took a hit, and this group has just been so resilient and so open to development and so open to coaching, and they move the ball extremely well. They've just gotten better and better every week on the defensive end, and I've just been surprised and just incredibly impressed with kind of the overall just makeup of this group of guys.
Now, two of the guys obviously that are playing big roles for you are in their first year in the program in the backcourt, and Ryan Woolridge and Admon Gilder. Do you think now, because of the way we are in college basketball, that obviously you want to build a program, but you're remaking your team almost every year because of the way things are right now in terms of bringing people in as grad transfers?
Well, we basically have to now. I mean, I think this, whether you agree with where we're at right now or not, the narrative has been, you know, for, hey, you know, whatever's best, go do it, you know, and if you're not feeling it, then you need to leave and or, hey, you need to, you know, try your best to make the league as soon as possible and situations like that. So we have, you know, a lot of people exiting college basketball that really don't have a legitimate chance to play in the NBA, but yet are kind of feel like they have to try, or I mean, somebody that, you know, the one guy out of 100 tells they have a chance, and then you have guys that, you know, have done a great job at the school they're at and have graduated and are just looking for something else. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and so I think all of us in college basketball have to, you know, I mean, either just put your head in the sand and try to say, no, that's not how it needs to be, or you just move on and adapt. And I think, you know, a lot of programs have just kind of moved on. It's kind of the new normal now. And I think that's one of the things I'm really impressed with. Our culture has been able to stay strong, and the content and the message and the, you know, what Gonzaga is all about, which is, you know, playing, putting team first and having great chemistry and, but also, you know, playing with great pace and playing the right way and moving the ball, and making the right basketball decisions and really truly believing in development. Whether you're here for a year or 2 years or 3 years, you're going to work really, really hard on player development. This group's been able to assimilate that. And I think, like a guy like Corey Kispert, John, really deserves a lot of credit, because he was kind of basically the holdover to kind of give that message to our guys. You know, the coaches can say it, but, you know, the culture's really, you know, handed down from player to player.
How does the relationship, though, Mark, you know, you mentioned Kispert, how does the relationship of somebody who is in your program 3, 4, 5 years compare to somebody who might be in Spokane for only 8 or 9 months? I mean, there's a different dynamic there. And I know, you know, the relationship with the player has always been something you've valued very much.
I mean, are you talking about just mine or just from player to player?
Your relationship with somebody who's there for a year versus somebody, you know, recruited for 4 or 5 years ago.
It's you just try to have as much a positive impact on these guys. I think, you know, I mean, you'd have to ask Ryan, you'd have to ask Admon, but I think they're having as much fun as they've ever had in basketball. I think they're just loving this opportunity to really, really, really dive in full on to a team in just a bunch of different aspects, you know, on the floor, off the floor, you know, really digging in and actually spending some time working on team chemistry and talking about big things and just the fan base here, you know, being around a place that is just basketball 100% of the time, basically 100% of the year, I think is it's just been great for them to experience. I mean, they haven't been able to experience, you know, being at the elite college level in any point in their career, you know, and highlights on ESPN and things like that. And so, you know, I think they're enjoying that, but also, you know, just seeing all my kids and the staff's kids all around and just kind of the general family atmosphere up here.
Gonzaga head coach Mark Few joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bulldogs a whopping 23-1 through 24 games. Well, we've touched a little bit on some of the players who are obviously producing at a high level in the backcourt, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about your frontcourt. And this is one thing that I noticed just on Saturday because he played so well last week is that very, very quietly, Filip Petrušev has become one of the best players at his position in the country, and he's one of the most improved players at his position in the country. I think, you know, he's on the verge right now of being talked about as an All-American. What do you attribute to the massive jump he's made from last season to this one?
Well, I think last year, you know, we could kind of see this coming. He was thrust into some action at sometimes earlier, you know, than we thought, and maybe he was ready for, you know, due to foul trouble or situations or injuries last year when Killian got knocked out a little bit. He was behind two essentially lottery picks in Hachimura and Clark. So we thought with how we value inside play and how we throw the ball in there a lot and we have a lot of demand and want a lot of usage out of our bigs that he'd be primed for a big year. And he, you know, was able to you know, experienced some good success with his national team this summer. And then we just kind of continue that on here. And you're right. I mean, I think he's definitely one of a handful of the best inside guys, you know, around the basket. And he can score with either hand in there. And he's really done a great job of handling all the physical play and still delivering through all with that. He handles double teams really good. And I think our staff kind of thought and we're really hoping that he was going to have a season like this. But we're, you know, still definitely pleased that it's kind of all came to fruition for him because he's a good kid.
Well, and you're right. He was playing behind two lottery picks last year, and that's been a theme at Gonzaga recently, you know, because Zach Collins was somebody who didn't start for you when you went to the national championship game in 2017, but he played a huge role for that team. Yep. Off the bench. I'm curious, and this is another thing I thought, when you're at full strength, can Drew Timmy kind of, even though he's not the exact same player, fill the Zach Collins role for this team?
Yeah, and he is a different player, you know. I mean, Zach was 7 feet and athletic and gosh, played above the square at times. But no, Drew has been doing that actually. I mean, he comes in, he's different than Filip, he's different than Killian. And he's done exceptionally well. And he's been able to even accrue more time because we lost Anton Watson, who was a heck of a freshman player for us out of right here in Spokane who had season-ending shoulder surgery. So we've had to lean on Drew even more, and he's came through in a variety of ways. We've had him play in the four. We've had him play in the five. He can score the ball also, and he's a good face-up player. He's a physical player. He's got a good feel for the game. He just brings a great positive energy and vibe to the program, which – you know, is really, really much needed. This is one of my quieter teams I've ever had up here, so it's nice to kind of add in Drew's personality.
You know, you mentioned he got some extended minutes because Killian Tilly went down last week. Is there any update on his status, Mark, especially with games looming this week against Loyola Marymount and St. Mary's?
No, Killian sprained his ankle. You know, I mean, it's an ankle sprain, so we got to see how it goes. You know, today with his rehab, and Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's kind of just see how it progresses. Those things take some time. Sometimes they take longer than other times, and sometimes you bounce back quicker. So we'll have to kind of ascertain where that is, you know, at the end of the week.
Gonzaga head coach Mark Few joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Bulldogs 23-1 this season after 24 games. You know, I remember being in Phoenix for the Final Four in 2017, and you were referencing a conversation you had with Jim Boeheim, and he told you that, you know, if you win, it's going to be an unbelievable feeling, and if you lose, it's really, really going to hurt. And you were on the cusp of winning a national championship at Gonzaga, and you're somebody who lives work-life balance. You understand the bigger picture, but I'm curious, in the last, you know, almost 3 years or so, how much have you thought back to the final moments of that North Carolina game?
Oh, man. I mean, here and there some, but, you know, I mean, I think when if you have regrets in life, it's because maybe you didn't do something or you didn't, you know, whatever, whether you didn't reach out to somebody and talk to them before, you know, you lost them, or if you didn't, you know, do everything you possibly could. I mean, we did everything we possibly could to put ourselves in position to win that game. And there isn't a decision we'd change and would look back and wouldn't change anything from play calls to substitutions to anything. It's just, it was a great game. And Carolina ended up making basically one more play than us. And that was it. So, I mean, I wouldn't say there's any regrets or anything like that. It's an awesome experience, and it kind of, because it was an awesome experience and such a positive experience, I think that's the primary major motivation to get back there. You know, not a vindictive or, hey, we missed out and, you know, retribution and we got to do this. It's more like, man, that was awesome. We got to somehow figure out a way to get back there and do it again.
Well, you know, Mark, I remember we were having one of these conversations that season, and, you know, your team was playing really well early, and you talked about that staying present is one of the biggest keys to having long-term success. Do you know internally, obviously, that, you know, obviously you're not going to be the same team ever again, and does that motivate you more and more? Because for this group of guys, it's for a journey that could never be replicated?
Yeah, and each journey, John, is just so different. Like, that 17 team was kind of just loaded and experienced, and you know, you had Nigel as just a kind of, you know, a really, really outgoing and vocal leader. And Shemek Karnowski had been in the program 5 years. I mean, we had depth everywhere. I mean, we used to have Monday scrimmages that were just legendary. Last year's team was very much a little bit like that, with just the sheer athletic talent we had, right, you know, and the experience with Perk. This year has been interesting. This is all new. I mean, Ryan, you know, like I said, Ryan and Advon haven't had to carry a ranking through you know, November, December, January, you know, and playing games like this where you're pretty much favored in every game you play. And Corey Kispert hasn't been in a situation where, you know, we're counting on him to hit big shots at the end of games. And so it's been always different. I think every college coach would tell you that, and they're all rewarding in their own ways. And it's a challenge. This is a challenge. This is challenging myself and our staff with just our lack of depth right now. You know, we can't have our Monday, you know, scrimmage wars like we've had in the past. We got to really pace this team, but yet still push and prod, you know, our development, you know, maybe differently through film and through individual work and through breakdowns and things like that.
Well, you know, obviously if you're 23-1, you, among obviously other teams in college basketball, are going to have a chance, especially this year, to get back to that point in the NCAA tournament. But for you internally, what are the biggest things that have to happen over the next 5 or 6 weeks for you to be in a position to go on a run like the team did in 2017?
Health, 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 and health. Okay, so we just got to, you know, for a variety of reasons, we lost a really good young player due to some personal reasons before we even got started this year. And then obviously Killian's had a rough go with his injuries, and Killian is a prime time talented just really, really, I would say, great college basketball player. We need to get him healthy and keep him healthy, and you know, then keep everybody else healthy, because we just can't. This team's done an amazing job of covering for each other and absorbing all these losses so far. But at some point, there's so much you can absorb. But so far, so good, and get Kills back here in a little bit, hopefully. And then, you know, February's hard. You know that, covering college basketball, man. It's hard. This is where it really – it can be a grind for some teams, and but it can also be really a fun kind of march towards the postseason for some teams, and we're kind of banking on it being that for us.
Well, final thing, Mark, you've touched on this about, you know, the road environment you're going to face in the WCC, and you've got one obviously on Saturday at St. Mary's, and then you're going to have another one in a couple of weeks at BYU. For somebody who's been through this as many times as you have, how much will how your team performs in those road environments be a good indicator of what they're going to be capable of doing in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, I think it's always a good indicator. I mean, it takes mental fortitude. It takes incredible physical toughness just to kind of be able to hold off, you know, teams that are coming at you so hard. I would say, you know, we've already faced it. I mean, we were able to get through a really, really tough environment at the University of Washington. That was back when they had Quadre Green, and were really, really playing well in a heck of a game. And then we were able to go down to the McHale Center in just an awesome environment against a really, really good Arizona team and hold them off. And so, I mean, sometimes everybody has short memories in college basketball, and no offense, but in the media and all that.
No, I was just referencing it because it's February.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then I would just say, I mean, the road is tough in any league, and I would say it's especially tough this year in our league because our league is vastly better, and I think being a little underrated nationally. And so we got some really, really tough games coming up. We got a sneaky game at Pepperdine, who gave us quite a game here in Spokane. They have really, really good talent with the Edwards brothers and a great point guard in Colby Ross, who's one of the best point guards we've seen, and we've played some point guards this year now, and they're experienced and old. So, you know, we got those three left on the road and some tough ones at home. So we'll just the key is just try to get better. You just got to be better at the end of next week than we were this one. So that's what all our teams that have moved on and advanced, you know, to the Final Four or to the Elite Eights and have been able to do here. So that's kind of the goal for this group.
Well, Mark, appreciate a couple minutes. Stay healthy, get healthy, and I look forward to staying connected along the way, as always.
You got it, John. Great talking with you, bud.
We'd like to thank Gonzaga head coach Mark Few for joining us on the College Hoops Today podcast. Before we get to the social media portion of our program, do you ever feel like you're always on, that you just need a moment to turn off for a little bit? If the pace of things is wearing you down, take my advice and choose the one beer that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. Mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Listen, I spend a lot of time on the road in my job, especially during college basketball season. From November through March, my life is always go, go, go. That's why Coors Light is the one beer I choose when I need a moment of chill. It's literally made to chill. Heck, even the Coors Light bottles will tell you how cold it is. The mountains turn blue. If the pace of things is wearing you down, take a moment, pause, refresh yourself. Take it from me. There is no better reset button than a night of college hoops, a pizza, or two if you're me, and cracking open a can of the perfect refreshing beer for chilling. That's Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process: cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 78, Coors Light is refreshing, crisp, and only 102 calories. Remember, it's okay to sit back and turn life off for a little bit. So when you want to reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And again, want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review, let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. Our first question comes from Dylan, who's at Behold Mercy. And it's, John, what is the furthest you see Florida State making it this year? Dylan, I think Florida State has a chance to get to a Final Four. I think Florida State can win the ACC regular season title. And I think one of the reasons why is because Florida State now is finally getting a go-to guy to emerge in Devin Vassell. Leonard Hamilton raved about this kid in the preseason. He has now emerged as the Seminoles' go-to scorer. Look, they've went to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament the last couple of years. There's no reason why they can't go back for a third straight season. Our next question comes from Reese Pavette, and it's, John, how many more games would Mississippi State need to win in order to secure a lock bid to the NCAA tournament? Well, I'll say this much, Reese. Mississippi State, since it's got Nick Weatherspoon back, and I know that they had the loss, obviously, to New Mexico State in mid to late December, they've looked like an NCAA tournament team. Reggie Perry right now is the best player in the SEC, and it's not even close. And if you want to talk about teams that have big opportunities this week to move the needle, Mississippi State is at the top of the list, because Mississippi State goes into Rupp Arena on Tuesday night to play Kentucky, and the Bulldogs will have the best player on the floor in Reggie Perry. One more question now before we wrap it up, and it is from Matt Hansen. It's, John, which conference tourney would you recommend to a person if there could only go to one this year? I said in our last segment it would be the Big East, not just because it's Madison Square Garden, not just because it's New York City, but the Big East this year is displaying the type of competitiveness that we're used to seeing in the Big 12. I'm talking about 1 through 10 top to bottom. And you're seeing a league that truly is cannibalizing itself at the highest level. That's why I'm so curious to see how many NCAA tournament teams wind up coming out of the Big East, because as we've seen, the bottom of this league can definitely eat the middle. Now, before we get to five good nuggets, I want to talk to you about Geico. Okay, this is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you. But please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years. And anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers. And in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. Now let's get to some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one, getting defensive. Tulsa is holding its opponents to just 49 points per game at home during American Conference play. This is the surprise team in college basketball. Nationally, it's the best defensive team that Frank Haith has ever coached. Nugget number two, Vassell on the verge. This is in relation to Devin Vassell of Florida State. I talked about him taking questions during the social media section. Look right now at Devin Vassell's production compared to last season. And all of last year, Vassell makes 52 shots, 26 from three, and grabs 51 rebounds. So far this season, in early February, he's made 107 shots, 35 from three, and grabbed 108 boards. This has become, once again, Florida State's go-to player. Nugget number three, sharing is caring. The least talked about stat from last weekend, Dayton had 21 assists on 23 made field goals in Saturday's win over Fordham. Destination Atlanta is a real thing for these Flyers. The dream to get to a Final Four, very much in the realm of possibility for Dayton. Nugget number four, Dayton's biggest threat in the Atlantic 10. That's Rhode Island. Fats Russell, Jeff Doughton, and Tyrese Martin is the most underrated perimeter in the country. David Cox has the Rams right in the middle of the NCAA tournament picture. Looks more and more right now that Rhode Island, clearly the best team in the A-10, not named Dayton. And then nugget number five, a human wrecking machine. This is in reference to Reggie Perry. This is the best player in the SEC, and it may not be close, but also there are more players on Mississippi State in addition to Reggie Perry. You'll see that Tuesday night against Kentucky. Robert Woodard, DJ Stewart, and also Nick Weatherspoon, who might be the second best on-ball defender in college basketball. The first, obviously, would be Ashton Hagans. Now, let's get to some games to watch.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
3-4 on Tuesday, 2 in the Big Ten. Rutgers at Maryland, Penn State at Michigan State, and then we've got the one at Rupp Arena, Mississippi State at Kentucky. Wednesday, we've got Villanova at Butler. Thursday, on the West Coast, USC travels to Arizona. We'd like to thank Gonzaga head coach Mark Few for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.